be my lover. You gotta hear my friends. Make it last forever. Friendship never ends. If you wanna be my lover, you have got to give. Taking is too easy, but that's the way it is. If you wanna be my lover, you gotta slam. Slam your body down and win it all around. Slam your body down and win it all around. Slam your body down and win it all around. Slam your body down, zigzag, ah.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, May 27th. This is The Drop. We're here in the Classic Factory. As always, I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, we got Flames fan, Tass Mellis.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Tough night. Did Coleman use his boot purposefully? Did he kick that in? How do you overturn that?
Flames are out of it.
They're done.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Tough one. Tough.
Nice jersey, I'll tell you that. We got our Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. Also in a nice jersey there. The International Man of Mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends, I'm also in a jersey. My Western Conference Final Suns have been dethroned. Officially.
Oh, wow.
But I'd wear that one this morning.
Tough. Sorry, man.
Tough morning at the table here.
Yeah. And last, certainly not least, super producer JD.
I'm not wearing anything special, just my standard no dunks.
Oh, that's the Warriors.
That's the Warriors.
The Warriors. Yeah.
You're going to the Warriors.
Jump on the bandwagon, did you?
Yeah. It was the first thing I grabbed this morning. So no significance with this.
Well, looks good.
No, you're a true Warriors fan. I can hear it. You know, you're not excited in your voice because you got to win a championship. Going to the finals, not
that's
good
right.
enough.
This stuff means nothing.
Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Take a second to like the video, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube, and comment away there in the stream team or in the comment section below the vid. Share the show as well. Tell your friends about No Dunks. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. We're going to hit the beach later today. So slap on some sunscreen. All right.
I will. Slip, slop, slap, for sure.
What do you call swimming trunks again?
Thongs.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
My dax. Because the thong, that's what happened.
That's the flip-flop.
Yes.
I was asking you what you call swim.
Yeah.
You confused me.
Yeah, well, I thought you were setting me up for something like that, because I was like, the thong is the big difference between Australia and everywhere else in the world, you know? Yeah. Like,
what do you call the ocean in Australia?
The sea. Vitamin C.
What?
I think we just got a little sneak peek into Lee's private life there. I think he could rock a thong.
A thong
on
man.
I've worn a thong in the past. Yeah, sure.
On the beach?
Yeah. Tried it out.
Like
didn't really work.
Like a Speedo.
Yeah. They're not very, they're not very glamorous.
Glamorous?
No.
Yeah. You put glitter on them.
Yeah, but then you got drawing too much attention there, You want to be subtle. But stylish. Very hard to pull off with a thong,
It's the wrong kind of attention.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, since we're here, what do you call suntan lotion? I find this one weird.
Well, sunscreen.
I thought you called sun cream.
Well, sun cream, sunscreen, yeah.
Cream is weird to me.
It sort of depends on which part of Australia you're in, I think.
I thought you called it thong juice. You don't need that thong juice? You can slap it on.
God, that sounds gross when you say it like that. No, but I had this this friend of mine who was Scottish, and he went to Australia, and he came back to England, and he said he went out there, and he was going to a wedding. And the Scottish guy went up to the person at the front and said, or to the person who was hosting the wedding and said, what's the dress code? He said, it's pretty casual, just no thongs. And the guy was like, what? He said, no thongs, that's the only thing. And he said, if I was wearing a thong, how would you know? And he said, well, we could see them. There.
Yeah, thongs as flip-flops. Yeah, that's the real crazy one.
Yeah.
All right. Where was I? Oh, staying with the clothing items here. Just a quick update on our No Dunks throwback jerseys. We're showing them to you here on the stream team. The Denver throwback jersey there and the Vancouver one. They gone.
See you, buddy.
Wow. Yeah, sold out yesterday afternoon. We absolutely love to see it. There was only 99 available of each. These are limited edition runs. But thank you to everybody that went and grabbed one or in some cases both of these jerseys. The real sickos out there. So yeah, those are gone. But lots of great items available in the No Dunk store, nodunks.com. Survivor, it's done. It gone.
Everything's coming to an end right now.
It really is. And I encourage you to check out yesterday's No Buffs podcast or the YouTube show with special guest Jason Concepcion talking about the final episode and about the season in its totality and where it ranks among the all-time seasons and our winner and stuff like that. I won't spoil anything here, but go check out Survivor, No Buffs episode. Any thoughts, Tass, on the season? I know you watched every episode. You listened to every No Buffs.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed like you were into it.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
You know. I'm not going to share any thoughts.
I'm
listening to the experts. Okay. I'm listening to the experts about how they view it against other seasons. Survivor, it's a roller coaster. Sometimes you're high, sometimes you're low. I'm at a low point right now.
Oh, wow.
I gotta be honest.
Sad to hear that.
Not a good time to get in.
No.
Not a good time
before,
at all.
I said on Twitter, it's a good time to get in before the show, but now it's over. Don't get in.
It's a bad time.
Yeah.
Anyway, go check out the podcast.
But you can check out the podcast.
And final piece of little news here. Next week, I want to keep putting this in everybody's head. Next Tuesday night, so that's May 31st, around 7 o'clock Eastern, we are once again hosting a fundraiser for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. We did it last year. We raised nearly $30,000. It was like $28,000 and change. Our goal is $30,000 on Tuesday night. Going to be a lot of fun giveaways. Sam's going to be joining us from the UK again to help us out with the fundraising and all that. So, yeah, if you have ideas that you want to see us do on Tuesday night, hear from the Classic Factory, let us know. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com, or drop them in the stream team, or tweet them in, at nodunksinc. Are you ready to raise some money?
Can't wait, yeah.
Hey, thongs only?
I'm thinking thongs with the fellas.
I'm thinking thongs on a Tuesday.
Oh, thong Tuesday.
Okay.
TBT, thong butt Tuesday.
So, yes, we'll be doing our fundraiser there on Tuesday night. But let's get into the game from last night, and we'll start with some more positive news here. We had another wedgie. And Draymond Green, man, I'm surprised he didn't win conference finals MVP with a leggie and then a wedgie.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit of the wedgie credit's got to go to Dorian Finney-Smith there too, but it was a foul. So it's the dunk attempt there from Draymond. He's going to get the final credit for this. But wow, did they let this thing breathe. It stayed up there for like what felt like, I don't know, 25 seconds or something like that.
An entire shot clock. I agree. Yeah, it was a... They weren't in a hurry to get it
no.
done. That was cool. Thought Draymond was going to shoot free throws with the ball just stuck up there.
Yeah. So number 44 on the season. What is that, our fifth one of the postseason? It's fourth or fifth. I don't have it written down here. But, you know, look, are we hitting 50? Unlikely.
Yeah.
Unlikely.
Yeah.
Single-digit games remain.
We would almost need a wedgie a game.
Wedgie per night.
Yeah. But 44, I think, looks okay to me. You know, there was something about 42, 43 with which just, yeah, felt really, really low. 44, yeah,
it's far,
I don't know,
far better. Away enough from 40 that it's respectable.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. Okay, so let's get into the actual game here. The Warriors, of course, beating the Mavericks 120 to 110 to return to the NBA Finals. We get the gentleman sweep. Mm. You know, Luka and Dinwiddie in the third quarter made things interesting.
Sure.
It got a little tighter there, and you had to stick around for the fourth, but in the end, the Warriors, pretty dominant performance here.
Well, it's the supporting cast. We just saw Draymond Green and his friends around Steph. After the Mavs finally slowed Steph, they produced. You got a good Klay game. First couple minutes, Klay took his time on a pass from Kevon Looney, the inside-outside pass, and Klay was feeling good and just let it rip. And when you know Klay, or when you see Klay hit a shot like that on a patient possession, you know you're going to get a good Klay game, and he just scorched. Best Klay game of the postseason, 32 on 12 of 25 shooting. Klay just in his flow. And then I mentioned Kevon Looney, who made that inside-outside pass. You know, as series go on here in the playoffs, as you get into your game five, game six, there's going to be some clangers out there. There's going to be some missed shots. And Kevon Looney has perfected the offensive rebound, pinning his guy inside. He's the biggest guy on the floor a lot of the times. Looking forward to see him go against Robert Williams or Bam Adebayo in the finals. But if you can get seven extra possessions, you got seven offensive rebounds, a couple extra possessions per quarter. That's hard to compete with. 18 boards overall, mm-hmm. and again, 4 assists. I know people yearn for the days of the center. You know, Kevon Looney is that big center, and he's even a little bit more athletic and agile. You see him rolling to the hoop and dropping points in. He can be a sporting guy. He only had 10 in this game, but very, very, very effective game and passing to guys like Clay. And we saw Draymond Green go up for a monster dunk there where he wedged it. His best game in the playoffs, his best game in years in the postseason. Draymond Green hitting layups off the window from the wing. You know, he doesn't have a lot of those in the bag, but when you see him hit a layup, it's usually straight on. So he had some touch. He was the outlet at the right time in this game occasionally. 17 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. Those three guys providing when Steph couldn't provide, and that's just very, very difficult to really deal with them. So they are ready for the finals, and they celebrated you know, they were extremely happy after those 2 off years of not making it. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what to expect if they were going to really feel it and really revel in it, because as we said off the top, these guys are champs and they're ready to get 4 more. But they really took that trophy presentation seriously. They they took the conference finals MVP seriously, which is good. I think
it's the inaugural one. You got to take it seriously.
You could scoff at it. They could say, who cares? I mean, we've won the title.
Yeah.
And for the NBA's sake, it's good for them, because otherwise it's all up to the players and if they respect it or not.
Right.
So they did. And I enjoyed the post-game ceremony as well.
So these Warriors now, they join the Jordan-led 90s Bulls, the 80s Lakers, mm-hmm. they're led by, you know, Magic Johnson and Kareem and all that. Bill Russell, Celtics in the 50s and 60s, as the only franchises to make it to the NBA Finals at least 6 times in an 8-year span. It really is impressive after those 2 like injury plague seasons here. But what'd you think of this game and this series and where they head now?
Well, yes, last night's game, the Mavs certainly didn't lie down. They fought. They got it back to within 8 points there in the third quarter. They were on that 15-0 run, and you could sort of feel Kevin Harlan and Reggie sort of like, oh, maybe Luka's in for something special.
Luka was hitting some insane shots.
Yeah, but the problem was you could also see that Luka's legs were starting to get a bit heavy there, and even Van Gundy on the broadcast was saying, like, these shots are great when they go in, but when they're missing, he didn't really drive, he didn't really penetrate enough, and so you always felt an experienced team like the Warriors were going to sort of counterpunch, and they did, and once they got it out there again, it was tough to see the Warriors getting back into it. But, the Mavericks. Disappointing series overall, I think. Go back to game 2 there, they had that big halftime lead. That's, I think, where the Mavericks really needed to win that game. They needed to really go back to Dallas, split 1-1 when they were down. And then, of course, they lose game 3. It was like, well, it's pretty much a wrap now. And then the Warriors, you know, game 4 happened. So they really did show that, you know, I know myself and Trey picked the Mavericks because I believe they could have done it. But they probably got exposed a little bit for living and dying by the 3 and not really having much else. I think that's really what it came down to. Whereas the Warriors had several contributors, obviously Steph and obviously Clay, but Kevon Looney, he had a really good series, just filling in the blanks there.
He averaged 11-11 and shot 70%+ from the floor in the conference.
And that, for a guy like him to just embrace that role, is like, he understands exactly where he is. They're not running plays for him, they're not giving him shots, but go out there, run to the lane, you'll get some baskets, especially against a team without a real interior presence there. So I thought he was fantastic, and I thought Wiggins was not so good last night. Overall, he was really good. Jordan Poole had his moments. Draymond, you mentioned. So everyone from the Warriors seemed to have at least a couple of moments in the series, whereas the Mavs, it was Luka, and then it was kind of like either guys were just completely feast or famine. And that was where it sort of caught up with Dallas a bit. So congrats to the Warriors. They'll be favorite now going in, no matter who they face. They're at home, they're fresh, they're no injury concerns. It is quite a return considering, you know, for the last 2 seasons, they didn't even make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So now they're back there. So congrats to them.
Yeah, I can't think of things more demoralizing than you actually stop the Warriors. Like, they miss a shot, be it Curry, Clay, whatever, and then Looney grabs the rebound. It's like, oh my God, because that was happening there a couple times in this game. It's like, you stopped them.
That was the dagger,
but
no doubt.
You got to get the rebound. And there was that one play, it happened, like, Looney, I think, got the rebound twice. Mm-hmm. Offensive rebound, give him another chance, and I think they splashed a 3.
Clay hit a 3 on that.
Yeah, like a 12-point game, and then it was a 15-point game, but it also felt like a 30-point game.
Yeah.
Like, you tweeted at me, is it Southern Warrior time? I engaged.
Yeah, thank you.
But it didn't really feel realistic to me that it was happening. But shout out to the Mavericks. They played a lot better in the second half, and I think they have a chance to win last night if Luka has a better first half. That was Not great from Luka. No. 2 for 12. Brunson also, I thought, didn't come to play in the first half. Those two went a combined 4 for 18. And Luka, to me, just looked like he was kind of taken out of the game by the officiating. He was driving a ton in the first half, getting to the rim. But the refs were not calling any fouls at the rim for either side. I mean, there was a lot of contact at the rim for both sides. He seemed to be getting upset and flustered with it. He wasn't getting back on defense. Meanwhile, the role players on the Mavericks were actually shooting the ball pretty well. Dinwiddie had a nice game. It looked like Luka was kind of not showing up compared to everybody else on the Mavericks. The second half was a different story. 22 points, 8 of 16, but he just looked really defeated to me in that first half, and that's when the Warriors were able to build a huge lead. It was very much the strength in numbers. Yeah. You know, they had 6 players in double digits, 36 assists to 45 makes. The ball movement was incredible. You mentioned Draymond. I just went through like the past 10 years of conference finals MVPs, and it was crazy going through the box scores from like the previous iterations of the Warriors, and Draymond is like 25 points per game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like it's not out of the realm of possibility to see him have huge box score numbers. So to see that again last night, 17 points, 9 assists. When he's aggressive, it makes the Warriors look so much better. And they also still got great like performances from Bielitsa and Moody in the second quarter. They were really kind of the key to blowing this game open for Golden State. So a missed opportunity for the Mavericks, no doubt, in game 2. I thought they had a chance to pull an upset last night if they would have gotten consistent effort throughout the game. But the Warriors them. That's what it came down to.
Yep.
Golden State 9-0 at the Chase Center here in the postseason.
Yeah.
People thought they threw game 4 on purpose to be a real gentleman about it. Here's the game. Let us go back, get some gate money, and take care of business there. But they tied the 2017 team I read for the most consecutive home wins in a single postseason in NBA history. Yeah. So far, nobody's been able to beat them there.
No.
In the Bay. But Steph got the Magic Johnson Conference Finals MVP award. He averaged like 23-7-7. I think he shot 44-44, you know, in 80 sort of at the line. And it's amazing. It's like, those are great numbers. Those are good numbers. But it's like, you know, Curry even has another level. But he, you know, they did a great job of trying to get it out of his hands at times. And he's such a great playmaker, too. It's he's an underrated skill of his, isn't it?
Yeah, and Zilla had a really good write-up this morning about just how Steph, throughout his entire career, has been more than happy to sort of defer for at other times. Yeah. You know, during the Kevin Durant years, there was never any, like, Steph wanting to be the man at times. You know, he's always happy to just win. He doesn't really... I'm sure he would love a finals MVP. He's probably favorite going into it now for the finals. But I think Steph really does encompass all of that about it's about the team, it's about winning. He's willing to sacrifice. He even said last night, you know, Clay had the 8 threes. He was going to Clay, happy to see Clay get his moment. Steph doesn't need to be the one who gets all the attention, all the glamour. It's great that he gets this this trophy, because you know,
fake trophy.
other guys had good performances, but Steph is still the one who deserved it. He was still the best, most consistent player on the team, even though, as you mentioned there, the numbers are modest by his standards.
Right,
and we've seen Steph, you know, easily he could put up significantly more than that. But I don't think he will. I don't think his motivation is to go out there and say, right, this MVP trophy, finals MVP trophy is mine no matter what. He's out there. If he averages 27-7 again like that and they win, he won't care if Andrew Wiggins gets it. I really, truly believe that is the way Steph is. He's very happy for his teammates. And he also does really, you know, support those guys like a Looney and a Jordan Poole and Moody, those younger guys. He wants to bring them up to the understanding that they're just as important to the team as Steph is in a different role.
Yeah.
He was averaging 28 before this game, and that 15-point night dropped him down.
Right.
So his numbers were fantastic, and it was easily given to him, no doubt. And a very funny moment after the game, because Andre Iguodala is still on this team, if you do remember. He doesn't play, but after he was given the trophy, named him by Sean Livingston, which was interesting. Sean Livingston coming out and giving him the trophy. Andre Iguodala said, "All right, now you're happy." Because Iguodala won it in 15. But that's still, again, that's why I say fake trophy, because that was a finals MVP. Now Steph, I'm sure he wants this finals MVP. But yeah, of course he doesn't care. He's the Tim Duncan of this team. He's a quiet leader. And they've been doing it for so freaking long. And I know our friend Zach Lowe recently said that they're trying to emulate the Spurs and trying to have a 20-year run. And, you know, they're getting to about 10 years here since they won their first postseason series in 2013, so they're going for it. And great article on The Athletic about, you know, Steph could have easily demanded that they didn't draft or James Wiseman and Moses Moody, and continued to, you know, go in that direction while at the same time, you know, trying to win championships. He could have easily said, trade one of those guys. Let's get a vet in here. But obviously, he's the man, and that's why they're so damn good.
Let's talk a little bit about Dallas. What's the biggest question surrounding the Dallas Mavericks this offseason to you?
Well, I think the season, the way it ended, is a little bit like what happened to the Hawks last season. As far as they got to the conference finals, probably a little bit ahead of schedule there. A little bit surprising to certainly beat the Phoenix Suns in that second round. The Hawks, remember, were down against Philadelphia. Then Trey had the great thing, and a bit of chaos engulfed the team. And then the Hawks made it to the conference finals behind their one superstar, Trae Young. But then the Hawks sort of fell in love with that and thought, hey, maybe we're actually better than we thought, and they didn't make any moves. I think that's got to be the problem here for the Dallas Mavericks, is not to think, hey, we made the conference finals, we're close, we only need a little piece. I think they need a bigger piece. They've got a lot of, in my opinion, 3 and 4 type guys, you know, mm-hmm. like a Dinwiddie, even a Brunson, Kleber, Finney Smith. These guys are like good when you have, but you need that second or that 1A to Luka, which they don't have. They tried that with Porzingis, didn't work out, moved on, sort of struck gold a little bit with Dinwiddie, less so Bertans, but still. So I think there's definitely a role there for Dinwiddie going forward, but they still need that second guy who can really change things. And
you don't think that can be Brunson?
I don't think so. I don't think he's a number 2. Yeah. I think he's more a number 3-4 sort of guy. He started off incredible against the Jazz. He, you know, slowed down a little bit. That was to be expected. I think he was, you know, outplaying his own expectations against Utah. But they need, I think, a big, because they basically start Dwight Powell and then yank him and just try to spread the floor. It worked to a point, but I don't think that's the key to long-term success. I don't think you can play your entire season and hope to play like that. I think you need a little bit more substance behind that. Who that big is, great question. Great question. I'm glad I'm not Nico Harrison or Mark Cuban right now, because I don't think you can just go out and sign a guy. Look, they'd love DeAndre Ayton, I think, if they could get their hands on him. Mm-hmm. Don't think that's going to happen, but that's the sort of player. And even Ayton is not maybe necessarily a 2, but he certainly improves them and upgrades their team. But they certainly need someone else who they can really rely on, because Bullock and Finney Smith and those guys, you're always kind of like, what are we going to get out of these guys tonight? You can't really rely on them. So for me, that's their biggest focus, is getting that second option. How they do it, well, that's for them to figure out.
You deal with it.
So here's what they're sort of looking at this offseason, just to set the table, I guess. They do, in theory, have Tim Hardaway Jr. returning to this team. He is on the squad, and he was out there with the broken right foot, so he should be there. They have their first-round pick for this year, okay? And they have like an $11 million trade exception that expires at the end of June. And they have, like you're saying here, they have a bunch of tradable contracts, I think. It's like something like 13 players, Bobby Marks said, between like basically $3 million and $20 million, like in that window. So what do you do with that? Can you move those key packages? But then, Tass, of course, the question is Jalen Brunson. Are you keeping him? How much are you paying him? How vital is he to this team moving forward? Is he not? Is there a sign and trade possibility? That's fascinating to me. And other, of course, what other team is like willing to be like, yeah, we love Jalen Brunson. He could be our starting point guard. Here's a $25+ million contract, you know, something like that.
Yeah, Brunson is interesting, and all the questions about can he be a number 2. They had great chemistry on the offensive end. I think where they lost this series is on the defensive end. They didn't hold the Warriors to under 109 points in 5 straight games. So my question with Brunson is, him and Doncic in the backcourt, you look on the other side. Steph Curry was the worst defensive player in that starting 5 throughout the last, you know, through the entire dynasty. So if Brunson and Doncic can't step up defensively, I think is the bigger worry, because Brunson's a tiny guy. He's 6'1" beside Doncic, who, you know, he takes some possessions off defensively. So I'm buying that backcourt. I think you can be decent if you get a big 5 back there to be a rim protector. So I would pay Brunson. I think this chemistry is great. I don't think they repeat what the Hawks did last season. I think they come out and have a great year next year. Doncic has to be a little bit better conditioned athlete. Sure, have your off-season beer. Sure, have your off-season hookah. But be be a Curry in the gym. I think he's got to be he can't wear it down, but this is his first conference finals. As many games as he played in Europe, he's never had to go through an 82-game series plus series plus series plus series where he's had to play in May and June. So I think he'll be focused on that. Do they have enough pieces defensively? You throw in Tim Hardaway in there. I would stick with this core, and as you said about the Bobby Marks comment about all those tradable assets, they did it with Porzingis. They somehow turned Porzingis into Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans, so now they have you know, more tradable pieces. That was the key, I think, to that Porzingis deal. These pieces that they have now are far more tradable. So, yeah, I think I just look at the team around Steph. You had Harrison Barnes and Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston types. Long, long dudes. And I'm a little worried about Brunson and Doncic in the backcourt as your non-long dudes. You know,
non-longs.
Non-longs. That's my worry. But I don't know. If you tinker around that, I believe in Brunson. I think he's only going to get better, really.
Trey, what do you think?
I kind of think the Mavs need to upgrade a little bit here because you look at the salary cap for next season, $19 million to Tim Hardaway Jr., $18 million to Spencer Dinwiddie, then plus whatever you're paying to Bullock. Like, that's a lot of money to spend on a guard rotation when none of those guards are probably all-star players, really. I mean, maybe Brunson gets to one at some point in his career, but I like him as a player. I definitely like him a lot more at $1.8 million than $25 million. But if somebody's going to pony up the money for Brunson, I think that the Mavs should match that offer, basically. I know it's different because he's not going to be a restricted free agent, but they can pay him more than anybody else can, and they probably should do that because otherwise this could end up very similar to, like, LeBron, his first run with Cleveland, where clearly he's one of the best players in the league, and you're just trying to get, like, little bits of veteran talent around him. And it works because the one player is so good. But you need a second guy out there. And I think that watching this through, the defense was a problem. And I think part of that is they need an upgrade at center and they need an upgrade in athleticism. Like, the Mavs play pretty slow. Even their most athletic guys are like Reggie Bullock and Dorian Finney-Smith, who aren't like expressing that athleticism out there, right? Like, they're not running up and down the court or flying around. So I think they could use an athletic wing as well. I mean, the Mavericks have a great start because they got Doncic and he's one of the best guys, but he gets expensive next year as well. He's making $36 million instead of $10 million. So things are getting expensive, and to me, Luka's good enough right now that you can kind of combine these Lego contracts to try and find a better star out there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Jalen Brunson is better than Terry Rozier?
Yes.
Then you're looking at about a contract 4 year, $96 million. That's what Terry Rozier got. So that's Brunson's looking at. He's going to be looking at something like 25, 26, maybe $27 million a year. I would expect to.
There's some team would definitely pay Jalen Brunson that if it's not the Mavs. So that's why.
Yeah, you say that, but, like, I mean, teams with obviously cap space this summer, you know, be it your Pacers and your Pistons. You know, Pistons have been sort of linked with Brunson for a long time. The idea of bringing in like a good point guard like that. But there's not a lot of teams, I guess, what I'm getting at. And even some of them that have the cap space may not need a point guard.
Yeah, so. But that you only need one team, and then the Mavs, that's what they're up against. So, but also, as well, the Mavs can't try to lowball, and they know that that's what his market value is now. So if you're going in less than $20 million a year, that could be one of those, like, well, I'm insulted, so I'm going to sign with someone else. So you almost have to pay him, and then it's like, well, if it doesn't work out, it's still a contract we can move to try to upgrade.
And the Mavs have to fix the roof. That's expensive.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you weren't here when we were talking about the leak. I said I was thinking about you up in your attic all the time, anytime there's a leak.
I was up there just the other day. We had the rainstorm down. I woke up. I found a shingle on the ground.
What's going on? You got something. You got hosed, I think.
I think so. I had to call Beto. Hey, can you come out and have a squiz upstairs? So
this guy, like, is at your house every time.
I know.
I haven't heard had a squiz in a while. That's nice to get back. Tass is right, though. I do think Luka conditioning is huge. Even Jason Kidd was kind of hinting at it in the post-game press conference. And watching that game last night, that was the sweatiest Luka Doncic has ever been. He looked like Kramer when he didn't have water pressure, and his hair was all flat because he was covered in sweat because he played basically the entire second half. But as you saw, he played himself into shape this season, no doubt about it. And once he was finally in shape, he was an MVP-caliber player. Yeah. Come in with that sort of mindset, you can win an MVP and make the Mavs look incredible.
Yeah, his shape is just different to other guys' shape. Like, he doesn't look like it.
No, but I don't think he's ever going to be, like, cut. No. This is conditioning.
It's like Jokic.
Exactly. Same thing, Do you think he was sweatier, though, than Tokyo last year for the Olympics?
Maybe Tokyo, yeah.
Good call.
I was like, Luka looks so sweaty that he had bangs last night. They were, like, hanging down onto his face. That was wild.
Like, from tip, almost. Like, really early. Yeah, it was sometimes he didn't get back on D, and that was being highlighted on Twitter. Was it just gassed, also defeated because he's playing the Warriors? I don't think it was him pouting by any means, but a combination.
I mean, he does that every single game, though. That's the crazy part.
About getting back on defense?
Complaints to the refs way too much.
Well, yeah, he was,
does.
Yeah, he wasn't even complaining in this one. He just had his head down, just kind of, you know, slow. And that's just growth.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's year four here.
Well, let's hear from everybody out there. What's the biggest question surrounding the Mavericks offseason? And even thoughts, of course, on the Warriors headed back to the NBA Finals 6 times in 8 years is a pretty incredible run. And we'll see who they're playing. And we'll talk about that Eastern Conference Finals Game 6 in a second. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear. You know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, back here in the Classic Factory. We'll get to the preview of Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals in a second, but as promised, let's hit the beach. Mm. Yeah, a little beach stepping. Because it's the only place to read your emails and tweets. Send them in nodunks@theathletic.com or tweet them in @nodunksinc. Or we'll leave them in the YouTube comments below this video. First one from Reed. Hello, my no dunkaroonies. I was reading Jovan Buha's great piece on The Athletic about how the Lakers probably shouldn't bring back Russell Westbrook for next season. That got me thinking, where should he go then? In what system would this aging star, who's sometimes great but often bad, fit in? Would Russ accept a bench role somewhere? Is he better off balling out in China? Would love to hear your thoughts. Churn up, dunk you guys. Possum. Again, that's from Reed in Kansas City. Talking Westbrook and what the Lakers are going to do with him here.
Yeah, because he likely opts into next year's $47 million.
Yeah, probably.
So, yeah, just to be clear, not a free agent. Most likely he hasn't opted in quite yet. But yeah, 1 year left. Listen, I looked around. I was trying to be positive. I was trying to find an answer. And I brought up the Hornets possibility a couple weeks ago. There's a rumor going around. But I couldn't find anybody. I think about the scenario. What scenario would he be good in? Obviously, it's a Ben Simmons-like scenario. All shooters. The team would think that it would work. You know, like what he did with Houston. Let's open the floor. Let's trade Clint Capella and make it work. But even since those years with Houston, the numbers are dropping off. Below average shooting percentages from two-point land, from three-point land. And he used to take more threes, so there was a little gravity there. and he used to hit him at a better rate. Now a career low in free throw attempts last year. So the package is dwindling a bit here. He's going to become 34 at that 47 mil mark, Reed. He ain't a role player. I don't think he's ready to accept that quite yet. No. Maybe on another contract, if you squint, you can see a Carmelo-like thing happening later in his career. Now, I didn't mind that Hornets hypothetical because it's kind of a bad fit for a bad fit because they've got a couple years of Gordon Hayward left. It's sort of like the Porzingis thing. If the Hornets are ready to pay LaMelo and Bridges, then maybe they say, let's get off the books for a long-term deal in Gordon Hayward and get a short-term deal in Russell Westbrook. Right. So it's less like a good fit there in Charlotte, sure. And more like contract for contract. So I don't know if the Hornets do that though. And then, I don't like seeing him beside LaMelo.
And then Buha in the article says teams are basically demanding the inclusion of at least one first round pick, mm-hmm. to take on Westbrook's massive expiring contract. So like any of these teams are like, the Lakers are maybe calling, hey, any interest in Russ? Yeah, but we're going to need two feet.
What else are you giving us?
First round picks, yeah. And that is what maybe is keeping, is probably holding the Lakers up a little bit. I don't think they want to attach more picks to Russ going out. They don't have a lot as it is. No. So, yeah, well, what do you think here with Russ?
Well, look, the thing is with Westbrook, I love his effort, his work rate. He tries everything. He never takes a possession off. But he's also shown a reluctance to really adapt his game. And that's the problem here. He's not the same guy he was in that MVP season where he can just bulldoze his way inside and score. He averaged that 31-point triple-double in that first season there. So he has to understand, if you want to be effective, you're going to have to adapt either your role or the way you play. He can't shoot. He's not a good shooter. He's not a three-point shooter. Jason Kidd wasn't a good three-point shooter, but he worked and worked and worked to become one. I don't know if that's the same with Westbrook, where he could decide to become a really good three-point shooter, but he can still be effective if he drives inside and gets higher percentage looks and does then spread the ball out to shooters on the wings and things like that. But I just feel that Westbrook's going to be like Melo was when he went to OKC and they said, why don't you try coming off the bench? And he laughed as if like, I'm not coming off the bench. And I think that's how I feel Westbrook would respond as well. But if he did embrace it, I can see him being an effective six-man, because then he gets that free reign to run the offense again and again, drive inside and score and get to the free throw line. But as a starter, especially on this team, it just doesn't work. So I think it's up to Westbrook to really decide if he can sort of put his ego to the side and say, all right, fine, I'll try a different role and see if he can be effective. Because like I say, you want guys like him on your team who give it everything. And that's one thing I always respect about Westbrook is sometimes that, he overdoes it a little bit, but at least he never takes possessions off. You never see Westbrook out there just like goofing around. He tries his best. It's just his game hasn't been able to sort of keep up with his, as he's aged a little bit here.
Trey, what do they do?
Feels very much like the end of Allen Iverson's career, where we're like, is he going to change his way of playing? Is he going to, fit into a role player sort of role? That never happened with Allen Iverson, and Russell Westbrook has been as defiant about his game as Iverson ever was. So to me, I think he might get John Walled, just sent home, which is something Jovan Buha mentions here, because like you're saying, Skeets, teams are asking for picks, one, maybe two, to take the Westbrook contract, and the Lakers should not do that.
No.
It might be addition by subtraction if you trade Westbrook in the picks, but those picks should be used to actually like tinker with the team. And I mean, if the Lakers wanted to theoretically consider the future, they could. Doesn't seem like a likely scenario, but they should use, if they're going to use those picks and trades, those should be used to bring in players, not get rid of a player, because they need a whole bunch of things to be competitive around LeBron and AD again. I kind of like the idea of Westbrook going back to OKC for a year, but do you want to take the ball out of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's hands? There's a lot of shots available in Orlando. You drafted a point guard last year, like you mentioned. Charlotte kind of makes sense from an LA perspective. Indiana kind of makes sense from an LA perspective, but they also have young point guards that you want handling the ball. So it's going to be tough to find a spot for Westbrook, it feels like. So maybe he's just told, you're going home for right now. We'll trade you closer to the trade deadline.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, there are four options, right? They can try and trade him, which they maybe are trying, but they're not getting the deal they like. They could waive and stretch him. There is that option in theory. Could buy him out. It's a whole lot of money. Or you run it back with him next season.
You could do it.
Is maybe the most realistic, if we're being honest. The hope that I don't think he's ever changing his game, but he plays better, that then would maybe increase his trade value a little bit. As you get closer to the deadline, it is an expiring deal, and then maybe there's a move there, but I'm also sort of agreeing with Trey. Maybe the best move for the Lakers is to just not have him around at this point if they can't actually trade him here.
Yeah.
That sounds crazy a little bit, but...
They cannot possibly give up a first-round pick.
No.
That just wouldn't work. They've got the money. The Lakers aren't broke, so if they just have to pay him to stay home, if that's the most effective thing to do, then they should do it. Yeah. Because even if you buy a guy out, that still goes against your cap, so mm-hmm. it doesn't create the necessary cap room what they're looking for here to sign somebody else.
Ooh. Gonna be interesting. Everybody always has an opinion on Westbrook. That's for sure.
You gotta assume he'll be back on the roster, whether or not they give him the John Wall treatment. It's just the way he's at this point. You know, he's only 33. He's not ready to go the Carmelo bench route. If you listen to his words after the year, he even said Frank Vogel didn't give me a fair shot. I mean, he started all the time, but I guess he didn't get free runs. So right now we're in the Iverson mode. If you want to be negative, that's where he's going to end. If you want to be positive, a couple of years, not now, he'll turn into Carmelo. But
or Derrick Rose or something like that.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's the positive way to spin it. But him also, you know, he definitely doesn't take possessions off, but he doesn't work defensively around LeBron, and it's just not a good fit.
Next one here. Greetings, gentlemen. Skeets often refers to Hornets wingman P.J. Washington as Chevy Trax. That's right. I found this interesting and had me thinking, what other NBA players could you compare to vehicles? How about Hassan Whiteside as a Tesla? Why? Because like Whiteside, Teslas have no engine. So have at it. What other NBA players could you compare to vehicles? Keep up the great work. Been a fan of you guys since I was in ninth grade, back when you were the starters. That's from Connor in Lorette, Manitoba. I looked it up. Never heard of it.
Me neither.
South of Winnipeg. Pretty small little place.
Very nice.
I think 15,000. Connor, thank you for the email. Mm. Great question. Let's compare some players to vehicles.
Yeah, well, funny talking about the rain and the roof just the other day, because you had to call Beto, and he came round in his vehicle. It's not a four-wheel drive. It's like it's a utility vehicle, right? It's got all sorts of things on the back of it. Yeah. You know, like, so you're not, if you look at him, you wouldn't think, okay, that guy's going to repair the roof. He's a handyman. He's a general contractor. Does all sorts of things.
So does he have a pickup truck?
Or like a van? No, it's not a van. What would I call it? It's like with a tray on the back, you know. It's not a pickup van, but it's like it's like a utility vehicle. You know, and he sort of made it, so he's just thrown all the tools. Okay. He's got a ladder and a saw.
Sort of a trailer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so again, he's
got a lot.
A man of many skills and talents, and that's where I think Marcus Smart is kind of in the NBA. You know, like Marcus Smart, not really a point guard, but he plays point guard. You know, he's a bit of an undersized big defender sometimes. Yeah. He has to defend the big guys. He flops around. He can hit the three. He can get hot from downtown. Yep. He can do all that. So if you look at Marcus Smart and you say, what's his best strengths? It's like, well, he does a little bit of everything. So he's a bit like Beto, my roof repairer / handyman. Right. Man.
So he's like a utility vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good. Not bad. Yeah. It's pretty good. You got any other comparisons, players to vehicles?
Yeah, I got a couple. Do you know what the Chrysler 300 is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you describe it for someone that doesn't know?
I would describe it as, it looks like a Rolls Royce, and that's what they're trying to do. It kind of looks like a luxury cruiser.
They're trying to emulate.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
Okay.
But it's not a luxury cruiser.
Right.
Because it's the Chrysler 300. So that's Jordan Poole, because Steph Curry is the Rolls Royce. Mm. But you squint.
Right.
Pretty similar.
Sure.
You know, like, maybe you can't afford a $300,000 Rolls Royce, but... how about a $30,000 Chrysler 300?
That cheap? That's a good price.
I don't know. I didn't look
smooth.
I have no idea how much cars cost.
It's hard. It's very difficult.
Yeah, but that's because my other comparison is to my current car. I'm driving a 2005 Toyota Highlander with 323,000 miles.
Oh.
Yeah.
Udonis has it.
Yeah.
Can't believe it still runs.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's
but you got to play it.
You can hear Trey coming from miles away. You can hear that thing.
That's the definition of a jalopy.
Yeah.
That's like when you see Udonis Haslam in a player's huddle sometimes, you know, just like really getting into the young guys. That's like Trey's car there.
Rattling up the street. I always make sure to turn off my air conditioning before I get near you guys, because I don't mind like the clickety rattling, but the squeaky rattling, that's the worst.
It's like people really look at you. Okay, you got any comparisons here?
No, I do want to bring up the reference about
Whiteside?
Hassan Whiteside, yeah, and Tesla. Not having an engine. I mean, that's the term for a guy who's got a motor, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But when will it change? When are we going to change to say that guy's got the battery? I mean, it's not. It doesn't roll off the tongue as much. But
forgot to plug in before the game or something like that. Mm. If he has a bad game, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to plug in. I mean, the Energizer Bunny. That's a battery. Mm. It's different. Mm. Anyway, but Teslas go. They do go. They can stay on the
they
road.
They do have engines.
Can't go long.
They have a battery.
Well, I guess. You could also come up with a comparison of a player that, well, what do you mean? They can only, at a certain point, they have to recharge. Well,
so does everything.
gas. Yeah, but I'm saying a gas vehicle, well, correct me if I'm wrong, a gas vehicle can still go further than a majority of
the... Depends on the car.
Oh, well, okay. So
things have changed.
That's why I'm seeing all these Teslas around Atlanta now, is it?
Yeah,
they're everywhere.
They are everywhere.
Stop spending your time on Twitter and go and make the battery last so you can drive, you know, 1,000 miles at a time.
Right.
Yeah.
How long can yours go for? You don't have a Tesla. But...
No, we have a Nissan Leaf. It's about 100 miles. No, it's about 90 miles.
Oh, okay.
But.
Those are old. That's old.
Okay. Yeah, it's like 5 years old. But that's the thing is, like, you can't go to the gas station and just fill up and boom, you're up. You're ready to go again. You've got to charge it for, like, hours, or depending on if you got a supercharger and stuff like that.
I mean, that's a Udonis Haslam. That's an older vehicle. Yeah, the fresher ones are. They got some juice.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, that's a fun question for everybody out there in the stream team right now, listening, watching later. Let's hear your best comparisons for vehicles to NBA players and why. Of course, you got to break it down. I think Connor would really enjoy that. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Obviously in Boston, they can close this series out and get us ready for the finals between the Warriors or Celtics or the Heat. Can they stay alive here and give us a Game 7, baby? Trey, what are you watching for in this one?
I'm watching for two things in order. First and foremost, is Jimmy Butler back? Are we getting the Jimmy Butler that we saw in the first two games of this series? 70 points, 26 free throw attempts. Since then, 27 points and 6 free throw attempts. He is obviously banged up, but he's out there playing.
Yeah.
A lot of minutes. So you got to produce. No excuses. It's the playoffs. Second thing goes from there. If Jimmy's not looking like Jimmy, then we need to see Bam Adebayo from Game 3. 31 points would be awesome, but I'm more interested in 22 shots and 6 assists. Handle the ball, make plays, and most importantly, be aggressive.
Yeah, put some pressure on
them. Be aggressive.
Yeah.
Those are the two things for me. It's like Jimmy has to be awesome, and if Jimmy's not awesome, then Bam has to be awesome. Otherwise, you're going against two great Celtics players with a solid squad around them. So it's going to be tough playing uphill, no doubt, for Miami tonight.
I think you're going to know what type of Butler you're getting in the first, like, 90 seconds
probably
of this game.
Yeah.
You're either going to be like, uh-oh, he's still, of course, like, you know, injured here probably and not going to have the juice tonight. Needs to plug in, get that battery all charged. Or you know, maybe, you know, obviously feels a little bit better for whatever reason here in Game 6 and maybe get a Jimmy of old in this series. But I think you're going to know really early here because you've been able to tell the last two. Or the last one, at least.
Right. Even if Jimmy isn't kicking it, even if he isn't a brand new Tesla plaid, maybe the supporting cast can come through. If you're looking at the Celtics team, no one's can score in this series, and yes, the Celtics have incredible players up top and they're still able to produce here, but if you look at what happened in Game 5 of the Warriors series, Steph had a 15-point game, they're still able to pull it out with some great performances. So yeah, Bam has to be at least decent, and I'm wishing for a Kyle Lowry game, because now this is his fourth consecutive game playing, and I think that's got to put him in a bit of a flow. And I think watching him in Game 3, he was furious with himself for missing shots, but I don't think he was really limping around. Obviously, his hamstring's not 100%, but I think here, just getting into a rhythm, we might see some Lowry shots go down, because when he signed this 3-year, $90 million deal, this is the moment. This is the moment that he was signed for, just to help when Jimmy's not 100%. When Kawhi wasn't having a great Game 6, Kyle showed up. So just a couple bangers, a couple shots to go down, and I think that he's healthy enough to hit a few shots. So I'm waiting for at least an 18, a 20-point game from Kyle.
Yeah, in games 4 and 5 here of the Eastern Conference Finals, your guys that play the 1-2-3 positions just can't hit a shot. Mm. So Jimmy, 7-32 combined in games 4 and 5. And then the duo, the backcourt duo of Lowry and Max Strus, are a combined 1-28.
Yeah.
Over two games in the Eastern Conference Finals. Tass is right. I mean,
yeah.
Lowry Strus, both of them, they have to hit some shots here, especially if Jimmy is not going to be like game one, two.
Yeah, but my concern is that Lowry isn't fully healthy because,
no, there's that too, yeah.
because his shots have been looking so bad. Like, it's not like he just had an off night. It's like they're flat, they're straight, they're not like, they're not got that beautiful arc. He's not stepping into those. So, and I think PJ Tucker's probably not 100% healthy either. So when you look at that starting lineup, Lowry, Butler and Tucker probably are about 70% max between them, and that's when you need the other Max to step up and hit some shots. He's got no excuse. He should be out there firing away and knock him in. But yeah, the last two games, the Heat have scored 80 and 82 points. Their offense is struggling, and for the Celtics, that to me is like, if you can get out early on a big lead, the Heat just might not have the firepower to get back into it.
And the Celtics just take care of the ball, don't hurt yourself, and you're probably good. You'll
That's
stop
right.
them enough. And
That's
half
right. So. That 95 points could be more than enough here if the Celtics close that out, which they should be able to get. And again, knowing that, okay, if you win tonight, you don't have to go to Miami and potentially win a Game 7 down there. You get almost a week to rest up before you have to fly across the country to face the Warriors. So the incentive and the motivation for Boston should be, end this tonight if we can.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on this series? Do you think it ends tonight? You do?
I do, nodding away over here. Yeah.
I mean, the injury report, like, what do we know? Who's even playing?
Tyler Herro playing? Didn't see any of those guys on there. So as far as I know, it just hasn't been released yet.
Okay. I mean, I know Robert Williams obviously was probably as questionable. He was looking banged up in game five. I assume Smart is still there. So it's a bit of like, who even knows who's playing? And the Tyler Herro one is a massive one. Can he play? Is he playing? Because he missed the last two. And if he does play, can he give them any juice there?
I guarantee the backcourt's going to hit a shot if Tyler Herro plays.
Well, yeah. You were telling me he was playing in game
That's
five.
That's what he told me.
Yeah,
I believed him. Yeah. What was he trying to sell me with those glasses?
According to ESPN, the Celtics, 8.5-point favorite tonight.
Wow.
That's pretty healthy odd line there. Everyone just listed as day-to-day, except for Sam Hauser. He's out. Definitely Sam Hauser.
Oh, no Hauser.
What?
Yeah, Doogie will not be there, so...
You think you call him that?
How could you not?
Because they don't know what Doogie Howser is.
Any of them know Doogie Howser? Maybe Al Horford. He said it like day one, and they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, but Sam, I must have been like, all right. Because isn't that coming back anyway? I think that was coming back too.
Probably.
Yeah.
Doogie?
Yeah, I believe it was, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Trey did a Doogie Howser, didn't you? You missed a year of school, didn't you?
I skipped first grade and had curly hair as a child.
You're the Doogie Howser of the No Dunks.
Did you like that show?
Oh, I didn't mind it. Frankie, was that his friend? Frankie or Freddie?
Don't ask me. I know very little.
I think it was
about
Frankie
Doogie
or Freddie. He was the sort of scammer dude, you know, the like he was always looking to, you know, make side deals and things like that. Doogie was the smart one.
You're right. There is a Doogie Howser remake.
Yeah.
What a surprise.
Sorry, in the season two. Yeah, exactly.
what a shock.
The only thing they haven't remade is Back to the Future because they can't.
Well, they haven't remade Elf yet either.
But you know what?
Apparently, Elf might be showing up in Stranger Things 4. Oh. Did you hear this rumor going
on? No, I didn't. No.
I have no idea if it's true.
But Back to the Future was technically a remake anyway because they started shooting with Eric Stoltz and then they're like, get out of here. And they went with Michael J. Fox. So.
Gotcha. All right, let's hear everybody's predictions. It sounds like everybody here is saying the Celtics are ending it, but not me. Not me. Lowry's hitting some threes tonight. They're going to drop for him, and I think this is going to give us a Game 7, baby, on, what would that be, on Sunday, right? If it goes to 7.
Yes.
We will see. Let's take our final break. When we come back, though, Tassie, he's got Tweet of the Night, and I got some rapid-fire questions for the table, so don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects, I don't have them loaded up, and I got too much going on over here. Good news, guys. I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickleball paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God. So bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles, how's that for alliteration?
Yeah, nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian?
No.
I did not know that.
I did not know that.
Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/nodunks.
All right, let's start wrapping up this week in style. We'll get to rapid fire questions in a second, but Tass, you got tweet of the night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
All right, this one comes from friend of the show, Rob Lopez. It's a bit of a visual one. Post game, Warriors are celebrating. And I always love a good celebratory hat. So, as Rob Lopez wrote, the key word being huge. Huge fan of the 2022 NBA Finals hats, taking a page out of the NBA Finals logo from 96 and 99. So we see them rocking it. And let's see the logo, JD.
Yeah.
Nice. Some similarities good there. The huge comparison, or the huge worded. To me, it's about the size of the hat.
It's a big hat.
It's a large hat.
It's a big old hat.
But nostalgia brings me back for the logo and the size of the hat. I mean, I don't mind that it's a big, big bucket hat. You can you can hold a lot of things in that hat. It's just large from brim to roof.
Yeah.
It's it's pretty big.
I guess they thought that Zaza was still on the team there somewhere. Because I remember seeing Zaza with a finals champion hat on one time, and he's got a big old head. And it fit pretty snugly on there. So,
But you see like Gary Payton II in that one. I mean, even Steph, you put a little curve on it, it'll fit. It'll fit. But yeah, it's tall.
Yeah, they went with like a dad hat recently, I feel like. But this, they're going big. They're going tall. Tall hats are back. It actually reminded me of this hat that somebody hooked us up with at an All-Star weekend not too long ago. This starter's hat, which always looked like a very NASCAR-y to me, just because it has a very big top.
Yeah.
This is cool. This is a good hat. This is what those championship hats remind me of.
Yeah.
The logo is too big, and it's also like too high on the hat.
It's like that Air Jordan one we saw with the big butt. You know, it's like a knockoff.
Yeah.
Not quite right, but close enough.
Yeah, close enough.
All right. Yeah, they're big hats. I mean, I thought I think it looks silly on Curry. If I'm being honest,
really,
it's too big.
I thought he rocked it. Okay,
too big.
No. There he is.
Yeah, he looks like an 8-year-old.
Yeah, shouldn't there's someone in the stream team saying, "Yeah, shouldn't they wear top hats for the gentlemen?"
Yes. You know, that's a great call.
I know you're a fan of the tall hats, Trey. During the Braves run, you were throwing up tall hats on Twitter. Could you just use that as is and call it a tall hat?
Yeah, that's taller than a 5950, I think. Like one of the standard new eras, or at least as tall.
Yeah.
So you could easily throw like a high top fade under there. Nobody would even know.
Yeah, it's 90s, baby.
It's 90s, baby.
It is.
Sure, I guess so.
They made the logo huge, though. That logo is gigantic.
Yeah, what's the thinking behind that? Just so we can see it in photos, like easy?
I think Rob's saying. It's just trying to make it as close to that monster logo as possible.
I guess. Well, they nailed it. All right, good tweet of the night.
Yeah,
good
why
tweet.
Not?
Good. A lot of clothing talk on this show. Started with it, and we're basically ending with it. All right, it's time for rapid fire. Yeah! According to the New York Daily News, Christian Winfield, we talked about this, but Brooklyn Nets star Kevin Durant hasn't spoken with the team's front office since being swept in the first round. No call, no text, no email, no fax, nothing. So, My question is, who's someone you guys have maybe been meaning to reach out to, but you haven't for whatever reason? Tass.
My Aunt Mary. She, along with my mom, they had an incredible dolmades recipe, if you guys know.
The vine.
Grape leaves.
Yeah.
Wrapped with...
like rice or other things as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Different people wrap. And so they had the best recipe. Do you do it... Did you like them cold? Did you eat them?
I've had them both, yeah.
That's a big Armenian thing to eat them cold, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, probably cold. Probably, yeah.
People do cold or room temperature.
I like them a little. Room temperature or warmer.
But you can go hot.
Yeah, that's what I see. I'd prefer that.
Yeah, hot's the best.
Yeah.
With a little egg lemon sauce that... the Greeks do. So Mary's going to give it to me. Mary's going to give me the recipe.
That's great.
And I can't wait to wrap some... I don't cook, but I'm going to do this. Anyways, I'm going to wrap some rice and beef and some leaves. My mom always used to just jump out of the car and find some on the side of the road. Oh, yeah, I'll use these. Bang.
Grape leaves?
Yeah. Sometimes they grow wild. Sometimes she'd do dandelion leaves. She could just spot them miles away. I see him, Tass. Let's go. My Aunt Mary's going to make these happen.
Aunt Mary, we got to reach out to her. Okay. Mm. Trey, what about you?
You actually.
Why?
Yeah. I want to borrow your power washer.
I've been saying this for months.
Literally, I only remember when it's like a question like this comes up. Who have you been meaning to reach out to? And then I think about it. But now's not the right time. Like, I'm leaving for the weekend. I'm not going to have a chance to power wash anything. We're doing a show right now. So somebody tweet at me. Wednesday afternoon to ask you to borrow your power washer. My deck has a lot of scum on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I gotta get the scum off.
Great timing. Just got it back from my buddy Grish.
There we go. That's why I was waiting, actually.
Yeah. So, no
problem. It's a good thing to have the power washer. You feel pretty tough when you
use it. I feel so tough. I just walk around like
so powerful.
Draped around my shoulders.
I feel weak trying to put it in a car, though. Thing's heavy.
Yeah, it is a bit clunky. It definitely is clunky. Yeah. Well, the one we use anyways. Yeah, you got the hose and all that, and it never wraps around properly.
You know what I did? I got rid of the box that it was obviously in. Yeah. Try and put it back in. It just gets wet.
Yeah.
Because power washer. Just get one of those like Tupperware tubs.
Oh yeah.
With the little lid that snaps on. Now it's
chucking in
super
that.
Easy. Yeah. Now it fits a lot easier too. That's the thing.
There you
go. A little life hack for you there.
Cool.
But Lee, who's someone you've been meaning to reach out to?
My old mate Louis. We've been friends for years and years and years. Lives in Australia. Sort of guy like flew over for my wedding when I was down in Australia a few years ago. He came down from Queensland where he lives to come and see me for a couple of days and hang out. And the reason I bring that up is because we rarely communicate. He's not on any social media platform, but he sent me a photo a few months ago. This is his house in North Queensland here.
Jesus.
Where it was flooded, and so he sent me that, and we have sent a few messages back and forth, and I've been meaning to call him to see how you doing, man. Did you get out? He told me that he survived. They got out before the floods came there, but lost a lot of possessions and things like that. So I've been meaning to give him a call. Just haven't gotten around to actually FaceTiming him yet, but he survived. He's doing okay. He's got his dogs out, his girlfriend. They all made it out, but a bit of a tough situation there for him.
Where
yeah.
was this?
Queensland.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. And it was just from like torrential downpour.
Yeah. They have them all the time up there now. So it's becoming a real big problem.
Thanks. All right. Well, reach out to Louis. Next one. Tom Cruise is so obsessed by the theatrical experience that he goes out in disguise to see every movie that releases in theaters. Quote, this is what he said. I put on my cap. Wonder if it's a tall hat. Yeah. Nice. I put on my cap and I sit in the audience. All right. The question is, when's a time you maybe pretended to be someone else? I twisted this cue a little bit. Mm. So get us started, Tass.
Well, every time I go to Starbucks, I'm not Tass or Tassos. I fake it up. I'm Peter, usually. Peter Piper picked this coffee. That's it. It's my best one. Sometimes Derek. Just to see how they spell it.
Because
Peter's too common. Sometimes I'll get a Peter. Oh, do you have a last initial? Like, what? You're throwing me for a loop here. I don't have a last name. But sometimes there are multiple Peters at Starbucks.
And now, is this because doing tasks, you're always getting it?
I just don't want to hear a what?
Oh, okay.
And then have to repeat myself.
Yeah, okay.
Why? We just saved each other a good 10 seconds if I say Peter.
That's true.
Until they hit you with the initial.
Yeah.
Then
it's tough.
Trey, who's someone you've been... No, I already asked you that. Trey, when's the time you pretended to be someone else?
Doogie Howser. Yeah, when I was younger, everybody said, you skip first grade, you've got tall, curly hair. So I thought I could do trauma surgery, but you do actually need training. So it didn't work out.
Okay.
Bad stuff.
Trey Kirby, MD. What do you got for this?
Yeah, so one time in the early 90s, I was mistaken for a very famous footballer.
When I was writing this question last night, trying to think it up, I said to Nora, I guess I'm going to go with this, but I know what Lee's going to say.
Yeah, well, I did go with it, and then I started using that name other times as my fake name, and I won a darts contest one night as this guy. And it was, you know, it was a boozy, drunken, hazy old night there. And I won this darts competition. And they said, congratulations to Justin. And I was like, oh, I thought I won. And they said, Justin Wanganeen, congratulations. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's me. Yes, yes, I did win.
Justin Wanganeen. Oh, so good.
So I thought I was someone else and then forgot that I'd changed my name and I won. But,
yeah, Justin.
Yeah. My original answer was going to be prank calls. Remember prank calls?
Yeah. Yes.
Those were fun. And I'm just thinking now, Justin Wanganeen would be the awesome prank call name.
It would be. Also, for you, we brought this up on No Buffs yesterday. Jeff Probst started growing his hair and striking resemblance, JD pointed out, to you and your long locks as your locks got longer and longer.
Yeah, I've had a few people mention that on Twitter as
really?
Well. So, and to know that how much JD is affectionate towards Jeff is very encouraging too. Because, you know, Jeff's great.
Mr. Jeff. Yeah. Mr. Lee.
How old is he?
He's 60.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
He's in great shape for a 60-year-old.
It's that island life.
Oh, I know. He's had a pretty good 20-year run, hasn't he, there?
He sure has. Sure has. All right, final one. Last week, an old pic of John Wall's tattoos resurfaced on Twitter, thanks to @hoop_district. We're showing you the pic of John Wall's tats. It shows there on, I guess, the inner bicep, some ink of his high school, college, and first NBA jersey there with the Wizards. All right. Question is,
all right.
Which clothing item would you get as a tattoo?
Wow, what an interesting question.
Yeah, full circle here on this show. Back to the clothing items.
For me, it's so hot in the South here for like 9 months of the year, I'd say. I don't want to wear socks. But I'm also not comfortable enough going barefoot in someone's house. I just don't have the guts to do that. And I think it's a little much, you know? So what if I tattooed socks on my feet? Like full, like it looks like I'm wearing them. Like if I had a great tattoo artist and made it look like I'm wearing socks, number one, I'd feel more comfortable. Number two, I'd just cover up my feet. And like nobody wants to see feet anyways. It's like kind of kills a lot of birds with one stone, you know?
But then it's going to automatically be those toe socks. That's going to be your problem.
Right. Yeah. It'd be hard to get away with that. Unless you get a great tattoo artist that like really colors your toes in.
Wow.
I don't know. That'd be tough. That'd be
very tough. But okay.
Maybe I gotta wear
it. That's a great answer.
Maybe I gotta wear a toe little I'm thinking like a whoopee cushion, not a whoopee cushion, but like a glove just over your toes. Like so that would cover all five toes.
Just a toe glove, huh?
Toe glove, yeah. That would cover
next
all five.
Next episode of Marvel's What If? What if a man had socks tattooed on his feet?
She'd love
crazy
life.
Stuff.
Trey, what's your answer for this? What clothing item are you getting tatted?
Well, originally I wanted to get the pocket from a pocket t-shirt on my chest with a little hot dog sticking out.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I think I gotta get a tall hat. Just like the tallest hat you can find.
Where are you putting it, though?
How about just like right here? I got a nice space.
All
right. Nice space right there.
For
how
a
about
tall
like,
hat?
Tall hat on my arm. Tall Braves hat, 2021. World Series champions underneath it.
Wow. Oh, my God. Do it. Please do it.
No. I'm not going to.
All right, Lee, we know how you feel about tats, but let's say you got to get one and it's a clothing item. What are you doing?
I would go into a tattoo parlor and I would say, just tattoo a pair of thongs on my back and just see what he comes up with.
See what he does.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I could do the dude, where's my car sort of thing, where I'd go to an American guy and say, what's on the back? And he'd say, well, it looks like a pair of thongs. But then I go, well, hang on, no, because if I went to an Australian, I'd say, what was that? Yeah, okay, I haven't thought it through all that much, but a pair of thongs is what I would.
Right, but you don't know which one you're getting, is what you're
exactly,
saying.
Exactly.
Might get flip-flops, might get underwear.
Exactly. Leave it up to the interpretation of the tattoo artist.
Okay. That's dangerous because you could end up with like a thong, you know, an actual thong.
Right,
you know, how you can see it sticking out of the back of your pants.
Some lace. Or underwear.
You would never know because it's on your back.
That's it. I wouldn't have to see it. So.
All right. That's rapid fire. That's another hopefully classic edition of the Drop Podcast. You tell us. By leaving us 5-star ratings and reviews wherever you listen to the podcast, or maybe subscribing to No Dunks on YouTube, or hitting that little like button. If you think it's a 5-star or a classic, I should say, then of course help us out by leaving us those reviews. Send in your questions, nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok @NoDunksInc. Get yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks and get your No Dunks merch. The jerseys might be gone, but there's a lot of great t-shirts over there. NoDunks.com
Get
for
some
all
thongs
your...
up there.
Yeah,
we should.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Which ones?
Leave it up for interpretation. I'll send the email to Jamie at Breaking Tea. We'd love to see some thongs up on the website. See what he puts up.
And then say Lee's going to model a pair for you. Later
okay.
Beach step and thongs is great.
See what he does.
Yeah. T stands for thongs. Yeah. Breaking Tea.
All right. So we will be back. I think what we're going to do is we'll have a little fun podcast following tonight's game 6 on Saturday morning. So we'll do that regardless. If the series wraps up, we'll maybe take off Monday because it is Memorial Day down here. If we get a Game 7, baby, I'm sure we'll have some content for you. So, you know,
Either way, make sure you're subscribed.
You're getting a show at some point. You're probably getting multiple shows over the weekend. So subscribe to your boys on YouTube and, of course, the podcast. Oh, I should say, too, just wanted to get this in. I should have led with this. But there were some issues, JD, with the Apple podcasts and yesterday's show not appearing there. It's not us. This one is not us.
Yeah, this time it's not us.
Okay.
It's Apple. Get it together,
What's
Apple.
What's going on, Apple? So, you know, hopefully yesterday's show will eventually just appear in your feed. Hopefully this one appears in your feed. But if not, I guess seek it out on YouTube or one of the other podcast platforms. We've looked into it and we've done all we can. It's in their hands now. Okay. Guys, have a great weekend. You're off for a wedding.
I'm out of here.
Oh.
I won't be here Monday regardless.
Oh, that's right. All right. Well, have fun and send our best to Mackenzie there. Your sister getting married here on the weekend. That's exciting. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, until we see you next time, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Beto is a handyman, we know, but another Beto is a heroic man.
Brace the weekend, people.